soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, "Make me your choice." And I entered the heaven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, and faith taking hold of his word, my fetters fell off, and I anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Is my Lord. Yes, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. How precious the thought that we all may recline like John the Beloved and blessed on Jesus' strong arms, where no tempest can harm, secure in the haven of rest. Oh, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Oh, come to the Savior. He patiently waits to save by his power divine. Come, anchor your soul in the haven of rest, and say, "My beloved is mine." Oh, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest.
Slowing down. So if you're here at 1 o'clock, don't complain to me. Hallelujah. The book of Galatians, chapter 6. Let's go, if we might, to verse 7. Listen now. This is powerful. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. Did anybody hear that? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man doeth, you hearing me? That shall also he reap. You will reap whatever you sow. You will reap whatever you give your life to do. Everything we say and do, we answer for. Now the next verse. Listen carefully. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Boy, that's a powerful verse. You sow to your flesh, you sow to this body, you sow to the appetites of your carnal man, you're going to reap what the flesh can give you and nothing more. But you sow to the Spirit and you shall reap what the Spirit giveth. Do you understand the difference? Everybody understood that? Raise a right hand. I want to see if you understood that. Do you understand that, my dear Spanish people? Did she say it real clear for you? See, you reap what you sow. Whatever you sow to, you reap from. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption, darkness. And let us not be weary in well doing. Let us not be weary in well doing. Don't get tired of doing right, in other words. Don't get tired of saying the right things. Very beautiful. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. How many got that text, that scripture? I want to see your hand. Did you get it? Did you get it? Now, I want you to point your hand to me and pray for God to help me preach. Will you point your hand right here? Father, these are my people. I love them. I love those new Spanish people in this building. Praise God for them. I believe you sent them, Father. Now, Father, I believe you'd anoint me to preach this morning, that I will preach in a way that nobody misses it and the Holy Ghost can have his way. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Now be seated. Keep your Bible open. And listen to me carefully. Now I was raised on a farm. I was raised to plant corn and other things. I was raised then to take care of it and cultivate it. And then I was raised to reap it when it came time to reap the corn. I remember going out in the cornfield, cutting down the big stalks of corn and making a beautiful stack. We took pleasure in creating these corn stacks of many different stalks of corn and making sure they were beautiful, making sure the wind couldn't blow them over, making sure they would disperse all the waters that fell on them, and to make them safe. We learned as farm kids to plant, understand that, and to cultivate, that's taking care of what you planted, and then reap the harvest. So I want to preach this morning on three things where the farmer's life is similar to the Christian's life. Where the same principles that apply to a farmer apply to a believer, a Christian. There are three things I'm going to preach about. I'm going to preach about planting. Planting. Everybody understand what it means to plant something. To take a grain of corn or a grain of butter bean, to put it in the ground and to cover it up and to let it come up. Let it germinate, we called it. Germinate, and the stalk of beans or corn or whatever would come up. Well, then, once we had planted, once it had been fertilized, once the ground was all fertile and in good condition, then we had to start cultivating, cultivating. That was hoeing around it. You know what hoeing means? Probably don't. Means taking a hoe and cleaning around it and pull the dirt up to it. Get rid of the weeds and the grass and whatever might grow up around that stalk of corn, or that stalk of beans. So we cultivated. Cultivation went on for weeks. From the time you planted to the time you reaped it was probably, 3 months, 2 to 3 months, sometimes 4, different things, different periods of time. So we learned to plant. Then we learned to cultivate. Then we had the joy of reaping the harvest. We had the joy of reaping the harvest. Now, I want to try to give you some figures here. If we spent $50 on the seed for what we was going to plant and the fertilizer, whatever went around it, getting the ground ready, all that took part in planting, then we would expect to probably reap at least 10 times the cost of the planting. At least 10 times. Maybe more. Some things was different levels. But everything you planted was planted with the responsibility of cultivating it, keeping it, taking care of it, and then at the right time, reaping the harvest. Well, that's your Christian life. That is exactly the same in the Christian life. You got to be planted. And you got to be planted well. You got to be planted strongly. You got to be planted in the right soil. You got to be fertilized with the right fertilizer. You've got to have the right planting if you're ever going to be anything as a Christian. The biggest job today for the pastor is to help people get planted. To help people get planted. And then to show them, if you'll live this life, you're going to reap just like a farmer. Everything you plant's going to come up. And if you take care of it, it's going to come to the day of harvest. And you're going to reap a harvest. You're going to reap a harvest. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, everybody here understands that, don't you? Let me see the hand of those who understand planting, cultivating, and reaping. Clear as a bell. Oh, God, help me. Now, I want to deal with planting. I want to deal with planting. See, planting seed in a field, first thing, you got to make sure that seed's good. There's such a thing as seed that's got old and has lost its fertility, lost its ability. The little plant inside that seed, have you ever opened up a butter bean? If you'll take a butter bean, if it's dried especially, and open it, you'll see a couple little leaves in there. How many has ever opened a butter bean seed and saw the leaves inside the butter bean? I mean, that's kind of simple. But to be honest with you, that's just like your life is. See, what is the seed that's being planted in you? Is Brother Chambers giving you the kind of seed from the Bible that you can be planted so that nothing can pluck you up, nothing can dig you up, nothing can move you, nothing can destroy you? You're planted and you're going to stay planted. And that's what's happened to Marvin Clark here in this church. He's been planted here 40 years. 40 years. See, he got planted. He got planted. And there are others here that's got planted. And a person who gets planted won't begin to move with the wind. They won't let somebody come along and talk them out of their church. They won't let somebody come along and give them some false doctrine, some false idea, some false thinking that gets them disturbed and gets them out of the way. So planted, you got to get planted. How many of you, some of you are so new, and I can look at you and tell you that you're not planted yet. You're not planted yet. You're here, and you lack it, but you're not sure how long you're going to stay. You're telling me you're going to stay. I'm talking to some of you who you may be here today, but you may not be here next Sunday, because you may just decide to be lazy and stay at home, or go somewhere closer, or whatever you may decide. You haven't become planted yet. I'm here this morning to get you planted. Hallelujah. Anything wrong with me having that commitment? I'm here to get you planted. I'm here, Rodney, to get you planted. I'm here, Woody. Did I see Woody come in? I'm here. No, Woody's not here. See, he's not planted yet. He's been here 2 Sundays, though, doing better. Thank the Lord for that. I love him. I'm not angry with him. I just want to get him planted. I want to get him solid. I want to get his roots growing down here in this soil. I want to get his roots reaching out and getting the substance of life. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me, Sister Marilyn? I'm here to get you planted. I'm here to get you planted, Renee. I'm here to get you settled and this to become home. 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 And nobody can move you. Nobody can disturb you. Nobody can shake you. You're just home. So you got to get planted. Now, you don't want to get planted with me. You say, I like Brother Chambers. I'm going to come here to church. No, that's not a good reason. I want you to like that Bible. I want you to come here because of the truth. I want you to come here because Jesus has become your foundation. I want you to come here because you see in the Bible the life of purity and righteousness and holiness. I want to get you planted because the Word of God is the only thing that you can get planted in and stand the test of time. You will not survive if you're not planted in the Word of God. Amen? Somebody say amen. Otto, say amen. So sitting there looking pretty. All right, now, listen, church, we've got to get planted. We've got to get planted. And if you get planted, I'm telling you, God planted me 68 years ago. Can you believe that? I'll never forget coming to that old-fashioned church on a Tuesday night and hearing the Word of God preached. And I got up from my seat and fell in that altar. And I gave him everything I was. I said, I'm yours until the end of the way. And I became his. And you know, Brother Joe, I don't remember a day in my Christian life that didn't know I was called to preach. I knew I was called to preach. God's got a call for every one of you. God's got a place for every one of you. God's got something for every one of you to do. God don't want you just wandering around from pillar to post. From one thing to another, he wants you to get planted. Let him give you something to do, and then do it with all of your heart. I don't know what God has for you, Sister Crystal, but he got something big. You got good smarts, but you got to get planted, and you got to stay planted, and you got to look the devil right between his bald eyes and say, Mr. Devil, I'm planted, and you ain't going to move me. I'm preaching too fast. Mr. Devil, I'm settled. And I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to dig in. So get planted. Get planted. And then once you get planted, cultivate it. How many have ever planted a garden and it started raining? And it rained for 3 weeks. And your ground was too wet to go in there and cultivate. And in 3 weeks' time, you had to go and dig grass until you were wore out with digging grass. Ginger, you understand that, don't you? You have a good garden. See, having a good garden is a big job. I want a garden so bad, I'm just too plain old to try to do it anymore. Because getting in there and digging for hours, I don't have the time, and I'm just not going to try it again. But I'm here to tell you that you got to cultivate. It's amazing what digging the dirt around a plant does for the plant. When you turn up that dirt around it and put some fresh dirt up to those stems coming out of the ground, it just makes it grow. It just does great things for it. Cultivating a garden. Cultivating, how about a corn patch that you know is going to take you 3 months to reap? How about all the kinds of different things you might plant in a garden to make money and to sell cucumbers, for instance? Wonderful to grow cucumbers and then take a whole basket full to the market and sell them. Oh, they, most places love getting a basket of fresh cucumbers from a gardener. It's beautiful. But to get from planting to taking those cucumbers to the grocery man is a matter of weeks. It's a matter of careful attention. It's a matter of no wasted time. It's a matter of the right kind of works. You may even need to fertilize them again. We called it top dressing when I was a boy. We put a little top dressing around them. A little top dressing, some later fertilizer to keep the plant growing. And it was a beautiful experience. Do you know when I got saved and God called me to preach? You know the thing that hurt me the most? The thing that gave me my biggest battle was leaving the farm. I wanted to be a farmer. I wanted to be a farmer, Brother Jose. I wanted to work in I loved to get out there in that field with a hoe and dig around those plants. I loved getting on the tractor or taking the mule named Pete that was my mule and plowing the gardens. Oh, I loved all of that. And I wanted to go back to it. And God said, no, 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 I've called you for me. Couldn't go back, but I'm still a farmer. And this sermon is called the Law of the Farmer. Remember that, the Law of the Farmer. I hadn't even given you the name. Got it? The Law of the Farmer. He plants carefully. Let me go back a minute. You know what my dad would do on the farm? In the fall of the year, he would take a big old plow. I mean, these plows were big things. And he would turn that ground up on a turf and leave it turned up all over the field. And you'd go out there and see the field, and you could see the tufts of dirt all over that field. Well, the winter would come, and it would rain. And then the rain would freeze, and those tufts of ground would just fall apart when they thawed. And the ground would become so fertile. It was a joy to get out there and dig in that fertile, rich ground and get ready to plant. See, all of that was part of the planting. It took work. It took time. It took labor. It took everything you had. Oh, we'd get tired of getting out there at sunrise and stay until sunset. Oh, it was wonderful, though. I'll never forget the farm life. My daddy would do something special. He'd have a big field of corn or whatever we was planting. And every so often, he would plant a tomato plant. This is out in the open field with all kinds of things that we're growing. And here would be a tomato plant. Maybe every 30 or 40 rows, there'd be a tomato plant. And we'd get to that tomato plant, and we'd have a salt shaker in our pocket. And we'd reach in and get one of those big old rich red tomatoes and eat it out there in the middle of the field early in the morning before it got too hot. And it was just a wonderful life. Well, really, that's how cultivation is. You come to church and you come to hear the Bible and the Holy Ghost moves and you feel the Spirit of God moving all over the church and you say, wow, isn't this enjoyable? And it is. Somebody raise a hand and say hallelujah with me. Ready? Come on, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're cultivating this morning. I'm digging you up so I can get you growing. I'm digging you up to get you moving forward. I'm digging you up so that you'll live closer to Jesus than you've ever lived. That's what cultivation is all about. If you don't grow up, you will never be any good. You know why we have Sunday school? Sunday school is a form of cultivation. Those kids in that room this morning, she had 9. You were cultivating. So Yvette, you better take it serious. Their future is somewhat in your hands. Every one of you, Brother Marlon, you need to start being a better teacher, man. Quit playing around. You see, I'm talking about cultivation. Cultivation is so important. So important, the reason I've got to have a piano player. It's because there's something about a piano, and I'm not against a guitar, brother Otto, not an iota, so don't get bugged at me. I just know that Pentecostals are used to a piano. Now, you understand that, don't you? Well, you're talking about people I don't know. Hallelujah. He and I are real buddies. We really are. But I'm telling you, music that raises the anthem of your soul. A guitar can enjoy the strumming of a guitar and the notes he plays, but a piano. Wow! That's something special. Hallelujah. You know that, don't you? You don't. God forgive. I'm a lover. Hallelujah. Listen to me, church. I'm talking about cultivation. You got to cultivate your life. You got to worship. You got to learn to put your hands in the air and worship. How many of you haven't put your hands in the air yet this morning? I want to see your hand. See, I'm getting all those who haven't yet. You ought to get on the stick, man. Hallelujah. Put your hands in the air once in a while. You know what your hands are in a church service? They're antennas. Now, am I not right? Aren't they, Crystal? They're antennas. Put your hand up there and leave it a little bit. Come on, Sister Francis. Put your hand up there. Raise it high. Come on. Keep it up there a little while. I'll guarantee you. You keep it up there and say hallelujah and praise the Lord about four times and something's going to begin to happen. It does in me every time, Rodney. I've never known it to fail in 68 years. When I begin to worship and I begin to move around, I begin to praise God and I throw my hands in the air. I begin to feel something that's from the other side. Well, hallelujah. Of course, somebody raise your hand and worship God. Cultivation. But then you cultivate this life right. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to get richer and richer. Remember that scripture? He that sows to the flesh. How many remember me reading that? Galatians. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. I know thousands of people who are starving to death, who are as empty as a gourd. They haven't had a blessing in years on end. They haven't felt the Holy Ghost in so long, they aren't even sure how it would feel because they haven't been cultivating their faith. Your faith has to be cultivated. Your spiritual life has to be cultivated. And I'm promising you, I'm telling you without a doubt in my brain, if you plant right and you cultivate faithfully, you're going to start reaping. You're going to start reaping. You're going to start seeing the end result of your life having been planted right. Now go with me to Psalms Division 1. I'm not going to get my Bible. I'm having to do most of my preaching by memory anymore. This week, on three or four times, my good eye would go out on me. It'd go out. I just feel it go, and I'd have to grab it back. And so I know my eyes are just getting older. But I'm believing God for a miracle of healing. And I'm telling you one thing. I can preach from memory if I have to. I know it. I've been in that Bible all these years. I've loved it with every bit of me. I'm using a magnifying glass. And I'm memorizing more scriptures every day. I'm out to memorize the Bible. But let's go to Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now look at those three things. Is that not the picture of a man getting saved? And he quits letting the world tell him what to do. He's quit letting the things of earthly life guide him and dominate him. The first thing in that verse is it shows a man who's been planted. He's been planted. Blessed. Let's quote it again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know what happens when you get saved, Brother Rodney? You quit listening to that crowd who drank beer and cuss and swear. They don't boss you any longer. They don't tell you what to do any longer. You change the things you listen to. You change the places you go. You change the things you do. You're a new creature. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of that world who tells them how to live. Who stands not in the way of sinners. He don't do the things that sinners used to do. When a sinner cusses at him, he just says hallelujah to the Lord. And on, that first verse is beautiful. But notice verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law doth he meditate day and night. And that's cultivation. Anybody see that as cultivation? Let me see your hand. If you see verse 2 as growing, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Have you read the Bible this week, Crystal? I'm sorry you missed last Sunday. I'm just catching up. Yeah, you got to read that Bible. You got to get in that book. And you don't just read it. You obey it. You do what it says. Blessed is the man, walks not, does not those things, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law doth he meditate day and night. Now, how many of you want to cultivate your spiritual life? How many of you want to dig in that Bible like you never had before? How many of you want to go to God and let him teach you how to get on fire, how to be a on fire person? Did you know if you're on fire for God, you're too hot for the devil to handle? I want everybody here to quote that with me. If you are on fire, come on, say it. For God, you're too hot for the devil to handle. When the devil gets a hold of me, I just, most of the time, sometimes not quite, but most of the time I laugh at him. Devil, do you know who you're dealing with? You're dealing with somebody that belongs to Jesus. I don't belong to myself. I can't think right even with myself. I gotta have help. So if you're on fire for God, you're too hot for the devil to handle. But now look at verse 3. How many of you are in Psalms 1 with me? Psalms 1, verse 1, then 2, now 3. What does 3 say? Remember 2? His delight is in the law of the Lord. In the Lord doth he meditate day and night. Now, what is verse 3? He shall be like a tree. Not a little tomato plant. A tree. Not a little, you know, a little cucumber vine. But a tree. Not just something that's kind of weak and lazy looking. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now look at that. Planted, cultivated, and now reaping. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. He shall not wither. Oh, that's so beautiful. Like a river, a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I want to get this to your heart. Everybody here who wants to cultivate and grow up, raise your hand. Raise it way up high. I want you to hold it up there a minute. You want to cultivate and you want to grow up. Now, verse 3, he shall be like a tree. A tree. What I've been telling you, Rodney, that you're going to become an elder around here, a man with some strength, and you are. But there's some cultivating to do it. There, you got to cultivate it. You got to stay with it. You got to give it all you got. And then you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit and his season. Now listen to this. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Say that with me. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How many people want to live to that point in your life? Everything you do starts prospering. Every place you turn starts showing fruit and showing beauty and showing, somebody's got to help me shout. Well, hallelujah. Shall bring forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever you do will prosper. I mean, you can't put a good man down. You can't destroy a good woman. I said you can't destroy a good woman. You can't destroy a good man. I felt that, Sister Hope. Hallelujah. You can't destroy a godly person. You obey and you do right. You get in that Bible and you live everything that Bible says. You say, well, there's some things in the Bible I just don't believe. Who gave you the right to say that? Nobody but the devil has that right. Oh, no. Everything in that Bible is yours to live by. That's why delighting in the law of the Lord day and night. Read the Bible and live it. And you'll will be absolutely impossible to destroy. Look at Buck Lindsey. I don't know how long he's been saved. He's an old man, 93 years old. If you're around him, all he ever does is talk in tongues. That's the Holy Ghost. He's full of the Holy Ghost. Do you think somebody could destroy him? You could take a dozen sticks and beat him and you couldn't destroy him. He is indestructible. That's how a saint of God is. I've got more enemies than Carter's got peanuts. You know, President Carter down in Georgia, he's a peanut man. Well, I got more enemies than Carter's got peanuts. They've laughed at me. They've thought to destroy me. How many times, hallelujah, could I tell you I'm still on top of the whole thing. And I still got the victory. Anybody want to say hallelujah? Anybody want to say praise the Lord? I'm standing not because I'm strong. I'm standing because he's strong. I run to the rock, and the rock is higher than I. Have you ever heard that one? I run to the rock, and the rock is higher than I. He's the rock. Jesus is the rock. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you obey God and grow up and build your spiritual life, you become indestructible. But it's not you. It's him. Am I making that plain? Joe Chambers is nothing without him. But with him, I'm going to make it. I love that verse. He shall be like a tree. Anybody quote it with me? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. Shall not wither. When I was on the farm, we had a creek surround, and a lot of creeks in the farmland. And you could go down to the creek in the dry weather. I used to go down, and there was a scuppernong vine right beside the creek. And I'd go eat scuppernongs. I'm telling you, you're talking about something good, an old country, organic scuppernong. Anybody know what a scuppernong is? That's a grape what color is a grape? A scuppernong. What color would you call it? Orange? Light, anyway. You go down there, and we'd eat those scuppernongs, and the trees beside the creek would be just as green, and you move 20 feet away, they're dried up. But beside the creek, they're green. Now, that's how we Christians are. You get out there in the world, look for people who claim to be Christians, who've never built up their life, and they get so cold and dissipated. Do you know that there are hundreds of preachers that quit the ministry every year in America? There's 200 churches that go out of business every week in America. 200. And there are more than preachers than that. I don't know one denomination that isn't trying their best to find some preachers. There's not many preachers today that's got it. What happened? You know, I tell them all the time, if you've got more going out than you've got coming in, you're not going to last long. And that's how most Christians are. They got more going out than they got coming in. They work all week, 6 days. They labor with people many times who are a bunch of alcoholics and liars and cursers. They put up with all kinds of stuff. And when 6 days is over, they feel dissipated. And I hear them sometimes say, I'm so tired on Sunday, I want to stay home. What you better do is learn that on Sunday is when you go get that gas tank filled up. You go get some oil in the crankshaft. You go get some life, some water in the radiator. You go get some river flowing through you. And then you're ready when Monday comes because you went and got some cultivation going on. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord this morning, church. Now, I don't know what time it is. Don't nobody tell me. I can promise you this. In Mississippi, it's only about 11 o'clock, okay? So you got nothing to worry about. I want you to go, and this is really special this morning. I want you to go to the book of Malachi. That's the last book in the Old Testament. Now, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me this week. I mean, the Spirit of God, without one question, got a hold of me and told me that I was, no questions asked, I was to take you to Malachi this morning. And I was to talk to you out of Malachi. Are you ready? How many of you will listen to what I say? Oh, come on, let me see your hand. You'll listen to what I say. I'm going to have to lay my knee up here because I want to read this very carefully. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Now, this is part of cultivation. I'm digging you up this morning, Rodney. I'm digging you up, Crystal. I'm digging you up, saints of God. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? Bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Notice the term of who's talking. The Lord of hosts. That means a Lord of a multitude of angels. I mean, you're talking about hearing heaven talking. Oh, I love it. Now listen. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Now listen, if I will not open for you the wonders of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. Now I'm talking about the law of the farmer. I'm talking about the law of the farmer. Are you listening to me? You say, are you preaching to get my tithes? Not really. I'm preaching to help you get your tithes paid so that you don't come under judgment. I'm trying to help you, not me. I'm trying to help you, not the church. I'm telling you that your tithe is God's. I want everybody in the building to say 10% of every dollar I get belongs to God. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. 10%. Brother Otto, are you not going to say it? I like to pick at him. He's a special friend. So, bring your... I'm talking now about cultivation. See, this is part of the cultivation. Sinners don't pay tithes normally. Some may do it, and that's not bad. That's good. If a sinner does it, I'm grateful for him. In fact, I figure when a sinner does it, it won't be long until they're going to come to Christ. Because usually that's one of the first steps they make toward getting saved, is they begin to pay their tithes. So he says, it belongs to God. It's God's. Now, if you pay tithes occasionally and you miss every few weeks, you're not a tither. The only way you can be a tither if you give them 10%. If you take 1 week out of 10, then you reduce your tithes to 9%. So you're not a tither. So you got to repent. And you know what? In the Old Testament, Sister Crystal, this is beautiful. In the Old Testament, if you came to the Lord's Day and you didn't have your tithe, then you borrowed them. Then the next Sunday, you got to pay those tithes you borrowed and put 20% with them. You didn't know that, did you, Renee? That's the Bible. That's the Bible. You got to catch them up and pay God interest. I like that. I like the way God does things. God does things so breathtakingly. Hallelujah. So bring your tithes into the storehouse, that they meet in my house. And prove me here, with saith the Lord of heaven, if I will not open for you the wonders of heaven. How many of you ever been under a wonder in heaven open? Have you ever been under a wonder in heaven open? I have lived my Christian life under open wonders from heaven. I'll never forget the day I started paying my tithes. I remember getting a call from the bank that loaned me money to buy a car, and you're late with your payment. What's wrong with you? You're late with your payment. Why are your payment not made? And I repented standing right there. I said, God, I know my problem is I haven't been tithing. But right now, this night, this day, I will pay it from this day forward. And I started. And could I tell you that the blessings of God that have fell on me, I've never made a big salary. The most any church ever gave me was $600 a week. That's the most. And I quit taking a salary years ago, period. I got Social Security. And I'm able to give a lot of that to God because my house is paid for. My car is paid for. It was never easy, but God took care of Mama and I. And we never fail. And we give mission. You know what I was able to do back in September? I was able to send $2,000 to missions because I'd accumulated a little Social Security money. And I sent it to foreign missions. You know, and I mean, you say, did you pay your did I pay my tithes? I haven't paid less than 30% in 30 years. Less than 30% in 30 years. I've given to God. I'm telling you, if you want to be blessed, you start paying your tithes, and then you start giving God a liberal offering. You know what liberal means? Everybody knows what liberal means? That means open, big, the best you can do. Hey, I'm talking to you about the law of a farmer. Now, listen, let's go back to what I told you at the beginning. Here's the farmer. He plants $500 worth of seed in his fields. That includes the fertilizer, the people he hired to cultivate, everything to get the field ready to plant the seed. He spent $500. But when the year's ended, he sells everything he got off that field, and he brought in $5,000. 10 times what he paid. That's average for a farmer. That sounds about right for a farmer, don't it? Would you say that's about right? From 50 to 500. From 500 to 5,000. From 1,000 I lost my figure in there all of a sudden. But from 1,000 would be 100,000. Well, somewhere close. I'm not sure. But I want to tell you one thing. Paying your tithes is exactly like that. You can't pay your tithes and God not multiply it. I'm telling you, God will take what's left over, and He'll take it further than you ever thought it was possible for it to go. He'll multiply everything you've given to Him, and you'll say at the end, hallelujah, what good God is to me. Now, how many have I convinced this morning you want to start paying your tithes? Raise your hand up high. Praise. I see hand after hand after hand. That's wonderful. Woo! Hallelujah. I promise you something. If you pay your tithes for a year, 1 year, and this is something, Brother Marlin, and now you're going to have to back me up with this, and you may have to help me. If in a year from now you've paid your tithes and God hasn't blessed you and you haven't seen the increase from it, come to me and we'll give you all your tithes back. Is that a pretty good bargain? Am I scaring you to death? Am I scaring you to death? How about you, Joe? Listen to me. You say, Brother Chambers, you believe this? The law of the farmer. You plant, you cultivate, and then you reap the harvest. I said you plant and you cultivate and you reap the harvest. It's so beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. It's so beautiful, saints of God. I can tell you this morning, I believe every word I've spoken to you is bona fide and biblically based and Holy Ghost inspired. And God's not going to let me down, and He's not going to let you down. Hallelujah! The law of the farmer. Shall we stand? Now, don't nobody go out the door. I want us this morning to do some hard, fast decision making. I want us this morning to make sure we think strong. Wow. I've been preaching late every Sunday. Don't worry about it. It's probably going to get worse. Hallelujah. You heard that, didn't you? I'm probably going to get longer. I feel God's Holy Ghost. How many of you feel the Spirit of God in this house? Let me see your hand. If you feel the Spirit, does those Spanish people feel God here this morning? You sense the Lord in this house. Your hands are up. I believe you do. I believe you do. But is God in this sermon? Is God in this sermon, young man? Is God in this sermon? How about you, Renee? Is God in this sermon? How many of you will say, Brother Chambers, starting this morning, I'm going to live by the law of the farmer. I'm going to make sure the cultivation of the ground is good. And I'm going to make sure that I keep the weeds out. Now, that's just kind of simple. That's what it means when you keep stuff out of your life that don't belong there. When you keep the world excluded. When you live clean and holy. And I want every person in this building who will say, Brother Chambers, I'm going to live by the law of the farmer as you have preached this morning. I want you to step out of your pew and come quickly to this altar and come up standing close to the altar and say, I am surrendered. I won't be no playing around. There won't be no forgetting and backsliding. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to go right straight ahead. I'm going, brother Rodney. I'm so excited about you. Thank God. I'm excited when a man really gets saved and he really begins to show it. Hallelujah! Come quickly, come quickly, Sister Frances. Bless your little heart. You've been given your money. Thank you for it, dear lady. Hallelujah. Your tithe is God.
Yes, he's the only one. Does let him have his way until the day is done. And when he speaks, you know the clouds will have to go. Just because he loves you so. And when you come to cross that river, he will be your friend and guide. And you can live with him forever. Over on the other side. Oh, yes, Jesus is the one. Oh, yes, he's the only one.